5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Hello, and welcome to the Fighting Moose Podcast. I'm your host and narrator, Jason Hendrickson. This is a podcast where I retell stories, some fictional and some historical, that can be enjoyed by people of all ages. Can you feel it? Can you feel the excitement of Christmas yet? I know I can. Well, at least I seem to see more excitement around town and businesses. Today, we continue our journey through The Christmas Reindeer, written by Thornton W. Burgess, as we read chapters 13 and 14. Christmas is about 10 days away, and I hope that you are all set with your shopping. For me, I just have to order a few more things online, and then I'm done. Hopefully you guys are just sitting around and enjoying this podcast because your shopping is done. If you aren't done, what are you waiting for? Now, let's turn to today's story. I hope you enjoy. Let's begin.
Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other things. Not because they are easy, but because they are hard.
Chapter 13, The Willful Young Deer. Of all the young deer in the great herd, and there were many, Little Spot was the most willful. He was called Little Spot because he was marked exactly like his mother, who was known as Big Spot. Each had a white spot between the eyes. Now, Big Spot was one of the wisest leaders among all the reindeer people. She was wise in the ways of the wolf and the bear, and she was wise in the ways of men. Under her leadership, the herd thrived and increased and was seldom troubled. But with all her wisdom, Big Spot was a poor mother. You see, she was just like a great many other mothers. She spoiled her children. So Little Spot, who was so like his mother, had never been taught to mind. Almost from the day of his birth, which had been in the spring before the snow had melted, he had been headstrong and willful. He had been a handsome baby, as reindeer babies go, and his mother had been very proud of him. Perhaps that is why she spoiled him. Anyway, he went where he pleased and did what he pleased and was forever in trouble of some sort. When he got his first horns, two sharp spikes, he made such a nuisance of himself that he soon became known as the worst young deer in the whole herd. Other young deer would have nothing to do with him because he was so overbearing. He was a little bigger and a little stronger than any others of his own age, and this, together with the fact that he had been allowed to have his own way, had quite spoiled him. "My son," said his mother when she found him with a small band of caribou which he had run away to join, "follow me to the top of yonder hill. I want to talk to you." "I don't want to be talked to," said Little Spot, with an angry toss of his head. "I know what you want. You want me to go back with the herd. I'm not going. I'm going to stay with my wild cousins, the caribou. I don't want to go back to the herd. I won't go back to the herd." He stamped his feet in the naughtiest way. "Very well," said his mother. "You may stay with your cousins, the caribou. But remember that if you need me, you will find me on the top of that hill over there." Little Spot tossed his head. He sniffed. You see, he didn't like it at all that his mother should think that he had any need of her. Had he not horns already? He felt quite equal to taking care of himself. So he tossed his head and sniffed, then went over to join some of the young caribou about his own age. His mother said nothing more, but slowly walked away in the direction of the hill. When she reached the top, she stood motionless for a long time. Looking up, Little Spot could see her against the sky, and he, being a foolish young deer, became very angry. He felt that she was keeping watch over him, so he pretended not to see her, And when presently the small band of caribou started to move away briskly, he trotted along with them. They were glad to have him. At least they made no objections. The farther he got from that hill where his mother still stood, the bigger and more important he felt. He was out in the great world now. He was master of his own movements. There was no one to make him do this or do that. He held his head high and he stepped high. You see, he was trying to look as important as he felt. Without warning, four great gray wolves swept out from behind some willow trees to cut off the young caribou from the remainder of the band. Such terror as there was then. Each young caribou started in a different direction. It was well for little Spot that he was swifter of foot than any of the others. At the first glimpse of the dreaded wolves, he had whirled about and started back for that hill where his mother was. They were the first wolves he had ever seen, but he knew what they were. Not once did he look behind to see what was happening to the young caribou. Forgotten was all his pride. He wanted his mother, and he wanted her as he had never wanted her before. Was she not the wisest of all the mothers of the big herd? She would know what to do. She would know how to care for him. He looked over to the top of that little hill. For a moment, it seemed as if his heart stopped beating. He could not see Big Spot anywhere. Had she left him, after all? Had she started off on that long, swift trot of hers to get back to the herd? The mere thought that he might never see her again gave added speed to Little Spot. Never had he run as he was running now. But it was not good running. It was unwise running, for it was taking his wind and his strength. He was panting hard when he came over the top of the hill. There, in a little hollow just beyond, stood his mother. "What is it, my son?" said she, as Little Spot crowded against her, panting as if he could never get his breath again. "What is it, my son? I thought you wanted to go out into the great world." "Wolves," panted Little Spot. "Wolves, we must run." His mother merely walked up to the brow of the hill and looked back. "Truly, my son, they are wolves," said she, and returned to him as if wolves were the most commonplace things in the world. Chapter 14. When the World Was Young. Little Spot, the willful young reindeer, trembled as he crowded up to his mother. He couldn't get close enough to her. He no longer wanted to be out in the great world by himself. He wondered that his mother did not run. Every moment or two, he looked back to see if these wolves were coming up over the hill. But Big Spot seemed in no hurry at all. You see, she was wise with wisdom of experience. She didn't want Little Spot to get over his fright so soon that he would forget the lesson he had learned. Then, too, she wanted him to get rested a little and get his wind back. At last, she quieted Little Spot's fears. "Those wolves did not chase you, my son," said she. "They chased the young caribou, and it is very fortunate for you that they did." "I'm sure I could run faster than those wolves," said Little Spot boastfully. "Yes, you could," replied his mother. "You could run faster than they could for a while. But you do not know the patience of wolves, my dear. You would have run so hard and so fast that presently you would have tired yourself out so that the wolves would have had no trouble in catching you. Ever since you were a little fawn, I have told you about the wolves, and they are our worst enemies. But I don't think you ever have believed it. Now you have seen them, and you know what they are like. The wolves are very smart people. They watch for a deer to stray away. Then they get between the herd and that deer. When this happens, that deer will not live long." "Have the deer always been afraid of the wolves?" asked Little Spot. "Ever since the days when the world was young," replied his mother. "Tell me about the days when the world was young," begged Little Spot. For a few moments, his mother said nothing. Gradually, into her big, dark eyes, there crept a faraway look. Once upon a time, she began at last. The world was mostly water, like the salt water that you saw in the summer. But where did the deer live then? Interrupted Little Spot. There were no deer then, said his mother. There were no deer, and there were no wolves, and there were none of those two-legged creatures called men. You see, Old Mother Nature had not made them yet, for there was no land for them to live on. But by and by, there was land, and then for a very long time, Old Mother Nature was very, very busy making the different kinds of people to live on the land. Some of these people she made to live where it was summer all year round. You should have seen Little Spot's big ears prick up at that. Is there such a place? He cried. His mother nodded. Yes, said she. I am told there is a land where it is summer all the time. How do you think you would like that? Little Spot thought it over for a moment. I shouldn't like it, he decided. Why, if it is summer all the time, there can be no snow. What a queer land it must be without the beautiful snow. I shouldn't like it. His mother again nodded her head approvingly. Neither should I, my son, said she. But it seems that in those days when the world was young, all the people, big and little, wanted to live where it was summer. So after a while, it became difficult for all the people to get enough food. It was then that the hard times began, and some of the big people began to hunt the little people for food. Now it happened that Mr. and Mrs. Caribou, the first of all the caribou, had wandered beyond the land where it was summer all the time. They had come to the land where it was summer for half the year and winter for the other half. When the winter came, they moved back, because you see they were not fitted to make their living when snow covered the ground, and they were not clothed warmly enough to stand the bitter winds. But they always stayed as long as they could before moving south, for they loved the Northland. Then, too, they felt safer there, for there were fewer to hunt them. It was on the edge of the Northland that Old Mother Nature found Mr. and Mrs. Caribou looking longingly at the land they must leave because of the coming of the snow and ice. How would you like to live in the Northland all the time? Asked Old Mother Nature. Mr. Caribou looked at Mrs. Caribou, and Mrs. Caribou looked at Mr. Caribou, and then both looked at Old Mother Nature. Mr. Caribou spoke rather hesitantly. We could not eat when all the ground is covered with snow, said he. There is always plenty of food beneath the snow, replied Old Mother Nature. You could dig away the snow with your feet and find plenty. But we should freeze, protested Mrs. Caribou, and shivered, for in those days the coats of the caribou were thin. But supposing I gave you warm coats and fitted you to live in the Northland, would you do it? Old Mother Nature asked. Again, Mr. Caribou looked at Mrs. Caribou, and Mrs. Caribou looked at Mr. Caribou, then both nodded. So Mother Nature gave them warm coats. She gave them each a thick mantle of long hair on the neck, so that it hung down and the wind could not get through it. She fashioned their feet so that they were different from the feet of any other of the deer family, and they could walk in snow and on soft ground where others could not go. Then she sent them into the Northland, and there the caribou have been ever since. But what about the reindeer? Cried Little Spot. I am coming to that, replied his mother.
Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed. That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Fighting Moose Podcast. Please join us next time as we read another exciting story. Today's music was provided by the artist Analog by Nature, and the audio clips were provided from NASA. For more information to download and or listen to audio or materials from all our recordings, or to contact us, please visit www.thefightingmoose.com or you can follow the links in the show notes. If you enjoy the podcast, please leave us a review wherever you get your podcast or on iTunes and tell a friend. Thank you for your patronage, and as always, try and do a random act of kindness every day.
Mission complete, Houston. After serving the world for over 30 years, the Space Shuttle has earned its place in history and has come to a final stop.